I'm up on the tight wire.
I'm Daniel Chacon.
And I'm Marcia Hatfield-Dottiston.
Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire, when our guest is Anne Heffron, whose movie Phantom Halo is going into production this month. She is a screenwriter who co-wrote this with Antonia Bogdanovich. And we're going to talk about what it's like to get a movie produced and all that experience. It must be pretty exciting.
She is an old friend of yours, Daniel, from graduate school. And it was great to hear you all connect again. And it's amazing to hear someone who actually has a screenplay that's going to be made into a movie. You sort of think this happens to, you know, it's as rare as being a billionaire or something.
Right, full production and everything. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that we're getting her on the show, because one of the things that I'm getting into right now with my new book, Imaginary Water, the one I'm working on now, it's going to be a combination of text and short film. And so I'm working on screenplays right now. And as a result, I'm really interested in how you put a project together. And also TV. I'm really into TV writing. I'm working on a few pilots right now. And so this is kind of somewhere I'd like to see the show go, because it's about writing. TV writing today is a very, very serious business.
Well, you know, Daniel, they had a funeral for Walter White in October in Albuquerque from Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad. It's a great show. It is an incredibly well-written show, completely worth the hype that it's been getting. I've watched it from the beginning to the end, and it's incredibly well-written.
Well, the writing is just superlative, and there are a lot of people who they want to intellectualize their sadness at the at the series ending. So they like to say that it's the death of, you know, yet again another death of well-written television. But, you know, there are other ones out there as well, like Downton Abbey and all of those sorts of things.
And Mad Men, that was a fantastic, beautifully written. You know what? Today, TV is so much better written, other than reality shows, obviously, but TV is so much better written than it was when we were young, when we were kids. It just really wasn't that good. It wasn't as intelligent,
well,
I think.
Well, I don't know. I'm older than you, so I remember, well, as a kid, barely remember, like Playhouse 90 and things like that. But you're right, some of those programs that were, you know, acclaimed as being so well written didn't hold up over time.
Right, and you know, one of the reasons why, and this is what I've read, is that today, when you do a TV series, immediately it's available on DVD. It's available on iTunes. It's available on Netflix, which means that you could watch it over and over again. And that means it needs to have connections. It needs to have more depth. Because back before the digital revolution, a TV show would air and you wouldn't see it again. Maybe one more time later on, and, you know, during reruns, but that's it. So it could remain superficial. You're not going to uncover levels, whereas you can watch Breaking Bad 20 times and uncover levels because it's scrutinized more. It's a different medium than what it used to be.
You'd have to be a very strong person to watch 20 episodes of Breaking Bad, I can tell you that.
Yeah, you would.
Well, the most I could ever do, trying to catch up on the previous seasons, I watched 3 in a row one time and had to go lay down.
Oh, yeah.
It was too much.
And, you know, the other thing is I'm into pilots now. I'm writing a pilot for a sitcom, and so I'm studying a lot of sitcom scripts. And it is amazing how much in 1 minute of a script is established. Character is established. Conflict is established.
Well, it has to be.
It's just amazing. These are some of the most amazing writers working today are working in TV.
What they have to pack into 30 minutes, because after you deduct the commercials, a 30-minute show is something like 18
minutes.
To 20 minutes.
22 minutes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's astonishing. They do pack a lot in. Which sort of sitcoms were you looking at?
Well, I have two pilots that I'm working on. One is called The Writer's Block, and it's about writers in an MFA program. And,
oh, that would be good.
Yeah, it's, you know, you get to make fun of writers.
And you can get all sorts of psychoses in
there. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Writers, right?
And the main character is a, you know, Latino writer about my age, kind of very similar to me.
I know someone.
Yeah,
like
yeah. And then the other one is it's about a Mexican family that bought a little bit of beach land 2 or 3 generations ago when it was worthless because it was rocky beach and nobody wanted to live there. All the rich people wanted to live on the white sandy beaches, but it became Malibu. And so now you have this very, ghetto Mexican family owning some of the best land in this beach city, and they have chickens and cars on blocks, and they're very, very rascuache and working class, and they're living among all these rich people who want them out.
I like that.
Yeah, and I've registered both these with the Writers Guild and am working on revising them, and hopefully we'll get to see them someday on be produced. For now, we're really happy to have Anne Heffron on the show, so stick around and we'll talk about her new movie, Phantom Halo. Anne Heffron is a graduate from the MFA program at the University of Oregon. She taught writing for 12 years at San Jose State University before she started to get into screenwriting. She is co-author of the new movie Phantom Halo, in production now with Antonio Bogdanovich. We're very glad to have her on the show. Anne Heffron, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Okay, thank you so much.
You know, nobody calls me Danny anymore. I just got to tell you that. See, that shows how long we've known each other, that you would call me Danny.
They call you Daniel?
Yeah, they call me Daniel, really? Or Chacon.
Okay. Actually, you make us call you Mr. Chacon.
Yes, yes. Usually I have them call me boss or senor or something like that. But yeah, you know, it's funny, because when we had Garrett Hongo on the show, Garrett Hongo was the director of the program when you and I were in graduate school, and he called me Danny as well. Well, it's good to talk to you. We went to grad school together. We both got our MFA in fiction writing at the University of Oregon. But you went on to start writing screenplays, and you just, I don't know how you, what the language is. Would I say you just sold a screenplay?
Well, actually, I signed my first contract yesterday.
Wow.
I made money.
My gosh, that is exciting. And it's going to be a major motion picture.
I have to tell you, it feels like a miracle.
Tell us a little bit about the film first, and then maybe we can get into how it all happened.
Well, it's called Phantom Halo, and my writing partner, Antonio Bogdanovich, did a short called My Left-Hand Man, and we went to Spain last year. She was in the Madrid Film Festival, and she won an award. So she did the short, and then she wanted to make a full-length feature from it, and she asked me to help her. I was excited, but I was also sort of reluctant because the characters were so out of my realm of experience. It was these, you know, one was a drunk, one was a gambler, they're thieves.
You mean that's not your family? That's mine.
She should have asked you that. And they're men, so it was an entirely different. But she just sort of forced me. And she is a force. I am so lucky to have her in my life. The story of us and how we got together and how this movie happened is, I think, the real. I hope someday we write a movie about that.
Wow.
I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when the editor, Ted Solitaro, I think that's how you say his name, came
to University of Oregon? And
we
were able to give him stories, and he would meet with us individually and tell us how bad they were?
Yeah, and he wrote an essay, I think it was called 10 Years in the Cold, and he talked about how you had to be willing after a writing program to endure 10 years of basically nothing. I think that's what it was, and for me it was actually much longer than 10 years. I mean, I've been trying to put something together, but it's not till now.
But what a first success to have. We're friends, and you showed me the other day, you texted me the other day, a picture of a booklet, and this booklet had a list of movie stars, that like a menu that you could choose from. Can you tell us about that experience?
Oh, sure. Antonia got called into one of the major talent agencies in Los Angeles, and they were trying to pitch their clients to us. And so they gave her, they had put together, just like you said, it was like a binder. It was really a menu of actors. The neat part is Antonia hired this wonderful casting director. His name is John Jackson. And he's done Alexander Payne's movies, The Descendants and Sideways. And there's this website called Cast. It's CAZT. And everyone that John does a reel for, he posts on this website so I can go and look. And to see actors reading the words that you've written, I forget that when it's a really good actor, you forget that you wrote
it. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that to me is the ultimate experience. We hired just recently, we found the main character, and I cried.
Can you tell us who it is?
Yeah, his name is Luke. I'm really terrible with names, so I have to tell you, I'm forgetting his last name, but he has done some TV work on Pretty Little Liars and other shows, and I had this feeling when I was watching it of what it must have been like for someone to see Sylvester Stallone for the first time.
Luke Kleintank is his name.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. And he's got a wonderful face, and he is so talented. And Antonio and I both just sat there and cried and watched him on the reel because he's the deal. And then in the short, we had, I confused their names. It's Thomas Sangster, who people know as the young boy from Love, actually. He's a grown up now, and he is on Game of Thrones. He played Samuel, who's one of the main characters in the short, and he agreed to play the same character.
Oh, he played the boy who likes to read the comics.
Exactly. Yeah. And we got him for the...
He's an intense actor. He's
really
good.
Yeah, he is unbelievable. We are so lucky to have him. All the actors that John Jackson are finding are... obviously I can't even talk about it. You know, when you see real talent, you just get silent.
We're talking to Anne Heffron, whose new movie, co-written with Antonia Bogdanovich, is starting to go into production, and it's called Phantom Halo. And you said something, Anne, that really struck me, and I think I'm going to remember this forever. You said when you were listening to or watching some of the actors read your lines that you forgot that you wrote them, that they were so good that you forgot that you were even the one that wrote the lines.
Yeah.
And that kind of reminds me of the aesthetic phenomenon of fiction. When you read really good fiction, you forget that you're even reading and you're just there. So it must be an incredible experience to see or to hear your words disappear and just become part of the experience. Let me ask you about the writing process itself. How long did it take you to write this? And then how does collaboration work? Does she write it, then you hand the script to you, or you write it, hand the script to her, and they make changes? Or do you sit in the same room together and brainstorm? I mean, how did that whole process work?
It's funny, we fight. and sometimes if we're in a place like Starbucks and we're fighting loudly, that's embarrassing. But,
oh my gosh.
We've ended up in the parking lot a couple of times, but now she's like my sister, so it's... We started working at this place. There was this great, huge, old coffee shop by where we lived. It was called the Cardinal Cafe, and it's closed now. They actually raised the whole thing, and the Phantom Halo was first called the Cardinal Comet, and we would sit in this big booth and with both of our computers. Actually, no, Antonia, she's the one that likes to do the actual typing, and We try to get in the character, and then we just do the dialogue back and forth, and she writes.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it's exhausting. The days that we can't do it, those are the days usually we fight because we get so frustrated. I think a lot of it for us, Antonia had a really interesting experience growing up because she grew up the daughter of two very well-known filmmakers, Peter Bogdanovich and Polly Platt, and they had a really acrimonious divorce. And the last thing Antonia wanted to do was to make movies. And now she is in the business 100%, and it's great. She was born to make a movie.
You know, I was wondering if that Bogdanovich name was connected to the director.
Yeah, and actually the first movie we wrote, The Rabbit Will Die, both her parents, we had a conference call where both her parents helped us to edit it.
And oh, wow.
That was one of the best
moments.
Yeah, that was exciting for me because I think the last time they worked together was Paper Moon.
Yeah. Well, I'm completely in awe of all of this, and most people spend their lives in Hollywood desperately trying to do anything like this, knowing that the odds are about the same as getting hit in the left eyebrow by a meteor on a Tuesday. So this is just, I imagine you're just walking around incredulous, aren't you?
Well, on several levels, because I was actually working as a massage therapist, and the woman who owned the shop where I worked introduced me to Antonia, because Antonia went to her for facials.
Oh, wow.
And she said, you have to know this person. And Antonia and I went to lunch, and Antonia didn't like me right away because I laughed when she dropped some food on her shirt. And she thought I was laughing at her, but I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, and that does sound like you, though, to laugh at that.
Well, I'm sorry. But we were talking to each other, and she told me, you know, it's a kind of the quick story of her life. And I just said, oh, my gosh, you need to write a movie about this. And she said, I am never getting in the film business. She said, it almost destroyed my family, and I hate it. And then I told her a little bit of my story, and she said, oh, you have to write about being adopted. And I said, it's the one thing I can't write about. I'm never going to write about being adopted. So we wrote a movie about being adopted. But I have to tell you, the strange thing was that we both had this, I can't even describe it, and it's going to sound weird, but we both had this weird feeling that we were going to kill our moms if we wrote this movie. And we were really betraying, like, our deepest source, and both of our moms died by the time we finished.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So for us, the things that we write are very personal. So I feel so lucky that I get to do something that not only I get to create something, but I get to really investigate my own life and see, look for truth.
Wow.
And beauty.
Let me ask you something. They say that TV is a writer's medium and movies is a director's medium. Meaning that once you turn it over to the directors, the writer is just not involved in the process anymore. Are you finding that that's going to be the case? And who is directing this movie?
That's a great question. Antonia's directing it.
There you go. Then she doesn't have to worry about them changing her script.
No, and she wants me to be on the set. She wrote and directed My Left Hand Man by herself. She has such an eye.
But Antonia started with short film.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant short film. Have you ever thought about doing short film?
Yeah, you know, ever since graduate school, I really do want to write about adoption. And I'm trying to find a way. I work with girls in juvenile hall, and I have all sorts of ideas of how abandonment affects people. And so I love working with the screenplays. But to me, that feels like I'm still being distracted from what I'm really supposed to be doing, to tell you the truth.
And what are you really supposed to be doing?
I'm really supposed to be figuring out a way to write. When I grew up as an adopted person, I didn't have a story to read that reflected my life. I mean, there was Anne of Green Gables, but I grew up with two brothers who were also adopted. And I see how important story is, that people look for stories that reflect their own lives. And when you can't find that, at least for me, I felt adrift. And so I want to write the book that I wish that I had read when I was young, that would make me feel okay, and that it was okay to sort of have this strange experience of having more than one set of parents.
I never knew that about you. And can we go?
I didn't talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, and let's rewind and go back about 2 years ago when we were in grad school. Let's go back to grad school. The University of Oregon, we were both, I think we were accepted the same year. And this was at a time when they were getting over 350 applications, and they accepted six a year. Everything was a full ride. And so they were able to pick really good writers, and they picked you. And I recall your stories, because we had workshops together all the time, and you just had wrote beautiful stories. Your language was beautiful. And I imagine that when you write that book about adoption, that it's going to be amazing.
Thank you. I don't know why it's so hard to write. I think when you get to the very, very truth of what you want to say.
And now that you have a film in full production, and it's being financed, and it's going to come out, and people are going to be able to go to the movies and see it, this means, you know, that if it's successful, and I'm sure it will be, that you're going to have the opportunity to pursue a career further as a screenwriter. Do you have anything that you're thinking about for your next project?
Well, yeah, and actually, we've written six screenplays together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but the one that is on the back burner right now that I think is going to be the huge one has to do, Antonia is willing to write about her childhood. As a young girl growing up in the world, especially with Peter Bogdanovich, and there was a lot that went on.
Wow.
There was the murder of Dorothy Stratton during that time.
Right.
That it's such great material, and to tell it from the viewpoint of a 12-year-old, I get so excited about it because I think in terms of images, and I see the images. I want to make a Boogie Nights, but a Boogie Nights by women.
Wow. Now, Anne, I have to say that on your next movie, when you get the menu of the actors, if George Clooney's on the menu, would you give me a call? I'll be glad to come out and help you.
Yeah, I will, because after watching Gravity, you can have him.
Well, we want him without the spacesuit.
Well, I can't wait to see this movie, and congratulations on your success, and I certainly hope you start writing that adoption story. It sounds like something that needs to be written, and that it'll be an important contribution to the lack of adoption stories.
Well, I am thrilled to have you back in my life, and it's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been great to reconnect. University of Oregon, with me, you, Garrett Hongo, there was Chang-Rae Lee.
Yeah, Chang-Rae.
We had Chang-Rae on the show when his last book came out, and he's got another one coming out in December, so we'll have him on again. We have a lot of vets from that class. It was an exciting time.
Yeah, it was an exciting time.
Well, Anne Heffron, thank you for joining us for Words on a Wire, and we wish you the best of luck.
Danny Chacon, you're wonderful.
Welcome back to Words on a Wire. And since we've gone Hollywood today, the poem of the day is called Brad Pitt by Aaron Smith. With cotton candy armpits and sugary crevices, sweat glazing your donut skin, have you ever been fat, Brad? Have you ever wanted a Snickers more than love? And laying on your bed while the phone rang and rolled one on your tongue, afraid to eat it, afraid it would make your jeans too tight? Have you barfed, Brad, because you ate it? Ate all the takeout, licked brown sauce off the box while you sobbed. Brad Pitt down in the pits, chaining menthol ciggies in your thick wallet life. It's not so bad, Brad. Sad Brad, is it? And that was the poem Brad Pitt, which I don't think has anything to do with the real life Brad Pitt. And it's by Aaron Smith.
This is Benjamin Alida Sines for Words on a Wire. Today's poetic license is a continuation of something I started some time ago. I've been thinking a lot about words, language, and memory. In the Old Testament, there was no real word for God. There were four letters known as the tetragrammatons, which is Greek meaning four letters. In the West, we transliterate the Greek into Latin letters as YHWH, which has evolved into the word Yahweh. We mistakenly think that this is one of the Hebraic names for God, and it is a mistake. The four letters are not meant to be a name. They are simply meant as a stand-in for a God who cannot be named. It is God who names, and we who are named. God stands above and beyond language. He is the Ur Word who needs no words. He lives beyond language. Not so for you and I. Words are a sign of our mortality, but paradoxically, they are symbols of historical continuity, which is the closest we can come to immortality. Words are the tools of remembrance. Where would the world be without the books that help us remember? I recall a lecture on the Old Testament when I was in the seminary many years ago. I was enthralled with an alternative version of the book of Genesis, which said something like this: "And God breathed into Adam the gift of words." I love that version of Genesis because having received the gift of words, Adam becomes the first namer on earth. In this, he resembles the God who created him. Adam names the animals and the trees and all of the new creation. It is not accidental that one of the tasks of the poet is to name. But if a poet is to name, then he must in turn know the names of all things. Many years ago, I was walking through the desert with the poet Denise Levertov, who was my friend and mentor. As we walked, she pointed to different desert plants and asked their names. To my great shame, I did not know the names of half the plants she pointed to. She chastised me gently, as well she should have. How could I be a poet if I did not know the name of things? How could I not name the things that have miraculously survived for centuries in a desert that receives so little water? Me, who was born and raised in the desert. And what is a name anyway? A name is a word with special significance. Why is Benjamin a different kind of word than window? Words have a hierarchy that we assign to them. Our culture assigns these hierarchies according to a set of values. Values we are compelled to put into words. Words we are compelled to articulate. Thou shalt not kill. Four words. Never mind that we pay those words no heed. But as individuals, we have our own hierarchies, and the words we use to translate the world say a great deal about who we are and the village that raised us. For example, hello, how are you? Hi, what's new? What's up? What up? Sup? Each one of those expressions publicly reveals the village to the rest of the world. Villages express themselves in words, in language. I can even imagine the bodily movements that go along with those words of greetings. I sometimes ask myself, which one of those greetings is superior? Which one is more civilized? Which one is more communicative? Or better, which one of those expressions is more literary? But that's perhaps the wrong question to ask. What passes for literary criticism is actually an expression of our cultural values. Literary critics are sometimes the worst moralizers of all. Rather than experiencing what literature evokes, they are more interested in judging its quality. But there is so much more going on here than most of us care to admit. Which of the greetings is more literary? None of them, and all of them. But if I have to choose, I think I'll go with what's up. This is Benjamin Alida Sines for Words on a Wire.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Words on a Wire. Thank you, Anne Heffron. Can't wait to see your new movie, Phantom Halo. I'm Daniel Chacon.
And I'm Marcia Hatfield Donnestall.
And don't forget, the next movie you watch
could change your life.
I'm up on a tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a surf.